All right, I want to talk about something that confuses a lot of people. And that's really like, when is Shavuot? Every other holiday seems to have a fixed day and all, you know, and this kind of holiday, there's two different ways of looking at it depending on who you're associating with or what you think. So I'm going to try and clear that all up, make it really muddy for you. If you were Orthodox Jewish, you would have celebrated it on Wednesday and Thursday, or Tuesday night through Thursday night. 2 days. Although that's only a one-day holiday. And if you're a member of the church or some other Jewish groups, you would probably celebrate it on tomorrow. And some people call it Pentecost because it's 50 days from cost. From Passover. We've been counting, right? We were counting every week. We counted the Omer, not the cost. Why do they call it Pentecost? I don't even know what that means. I know it means 50, but 50 something. What is cost? 50, never mind. So, when is this holiday? According to the Jewish calendar we have, it says Wednesday. This year, it was Wednesday, if you were a real Jewish guy. And, you know, I like to keep the commanded festivals of the Torah because Leviticus 23 says we should, right? And the church always keeps it on Sunday. So let's look at some reasons why traditional Judaism keeps it on Wednesday, or whatever day they come up with. Let's start by looking at the commandment for the timing of Shavuot, and that's given in the book of Leviticus or Vayikra. But we have to back it up to the previous commandment, which is the commandment for Yom HaBikurim, the day of the first fruits, following the commandments of Passover or Pesach, and the Chag HaMatzah, the festival of the unleavened bread. So, let's go to Leviticus 23 and read verses 9 through 16. And let me throw in some stuff there. Keep you awake. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I'm going to give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it." So here's the first point of difference. Traditional Judaism, following the opinion of the Pharisees school, interprets the Sabbath in this commandment as meaning the festival Sabbath, not the weekly Sabbath. And that festival Sabbath would have been the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is the second or the first day of Passover, right? Yes. Chag HaMatzah. And that's a Sabbath day. The interpretation given by the Sadducees, the Essenes, and several other groups is that it means the weekly Sabbath. So already we've got a problem. And if this statement stood alone, I would say there is room for either interpretation. However, as we continue, we see that one of these interpretations is not going to work. So let's pick it up at verse 14. "Until this same day, until you have brought in the offering of your God, you shall eat neither bread nor roasted grain nor new growth. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all of your dwelling places. You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath. From the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be 7 complete Sabbaths." So here's where we see the second point of difference. Traditional Judaism, again, following the opinion of the Pharisees, interpretively translate the last phase in this commandment as 7 full weeks. The Sadducees, the Essenes, and the others stick to what they say is a more literal translation, 7 complete Sabbaths, as the translation. Which is correct? Well, let's look at the Hebrew. The wording is Shavah Tamim Shabbatot. Shiva means seven. Ta mim means complete or whole or sound. And Shabbatot means Sabbaths. To mean seven full weeks, it would be Shiva Tamim Shavuot. So to get to the other problem with this counting, we have to continue with the scripture passage. Let's pick it up at verse 16 now. You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. The Pharisees' count is simply 50 days from the day after the festival Sabbath. In verse 16, we see there is a specification to that 50th day. It is the day after the seventh Sabbath, not simply sometime after the seventh Sabbath. It's the day after the seventh Sabbath. For example, we'll give you 1 year. The 29th of Iyar is the seventh Sabbath, or the 23rd of May on the Gregorian calendar, beginning the night of the 22nd. The day after the seventh Sabbath would be the 30th of Iyar, or the 24th of May on the Gregorian calendar, beginning the night of the 23rd. But according to the Pharisees, they always say that Shavuot will always be on the sixth day of the month of Sivan. We're in the month of Sivan right now. And last year, that's the sixth day after the seventh Sabbath that they had counted. This cannot be accurate biblically. Also, ask yourself, why is this the only festival for which God doesn't give us a specific date? If it is to fall on a specific date, the sixth of Sivan, as traditional Pharisaic count says, why didn't God tell us it's going to be on the sixth day of Sivan? He didn't tell us that. So we got some arguments for the traditional Pharisaic count that are scripturally based. Let's look at those and see what we can find out. First one's in Deuteronomy 16, verses 9 through 11. Heard those numbers before? You shall count 7 weeks for yourself. You shall begin to count 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain. Then you shall celebrate the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God with a tribute, a freewill offering of your hand, which shall give just as the Lord your God blesses you. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God. And you and your son and your daughter and your male and female servants and the Levite who is in your town and the stranger and the orphan and the widow who are in your midst in the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name. The claim is that by using the less specific term 7 weeks, Moses had made the count less specific, and that caused ambiguity. I agree, except that we have a specific statement in Leviticus 23:16 that Shavuot is the day after the seventh Sabbath. I have no idea how the Pharisees interpret the day after so they can have Shavuot 6 days after that Sabbath. That's what they do. If anyone knows, tell me how that's done. I don't see any other way to interpret it other than it being the actual next day. If it's the day after the Sabbath, when is it? Not 6 days later, right? Good. You guys are getting smart. The second scriptural thing I got for the Pharisees' count is the description of the first Yom HaBikurim that occurred in the Promised Land. And we'll have to go to Joshua chapter 5 for that. Joshua 5, verses 10 and 11. While the sons of Israel camped at Gilgal, they observed the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month on the desert plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. All right, so this establishes the day of the first fruits as always being the day after the Passover, right? Because you could not eat the new grain until Yom HaBikurim, the Feast of First Fruits. So it's the day after the Passover, which is Chag HaMatzah. So here's a twofold response. One, it doesn't say the grain was new. In fact, given that it was made into unleavened cakes and parched grain, I think a case can be made that it was not new grain, but stored up grain from the previous harvest, which is allowed to be eaten up until the day of the first fruits. Maybe. Second response is that because Yom HaBikurim fell on the day after the Passover Seder that year, assuming it did, as I said, we don't know that that's what it means. Does not mean it always does. Again, let us ask ourselves, why is this the only festival for which God did not command a specific date? If it is to fall on a specific date, the 6th of Sivan, God should have said so. Hey, let's have this holiday on the 6th of Sivan so we can make the rabbis happy. That's what God would have said. The question becomes, when did the count that is recorded by the Pharisaic count that was institutionalized by the final Sanhedrin that was led by Rabbi Hillel II start to be used? When did they start using this stuff? The claim is that this is always the way it was done. But I would question that, as we've just seen, that it doesn't pass scriptural muster. The final Sanhedrin, guess when they met? They met after the destruction of the temple, as the faith that would one day be called Christianity is starting to pick up a lot of steam. They knew that the sect of the Nazarenes, also known as the Way, that's what Nazarene means, is the Way, was using the day of the first fruits and the Omer count of strictly weekly Sabbaths to reinforce their message of Yeshua's messiahship. So they were revolting against the Messianic Jews, which this Sanhedrin is completely against. How many Sanhedrins do you know love the Messianic Jews? That many, right? In fact, they formalized and institutionalized the benediction in the Amidah, the 18 benedictions. They added a 19th one that said, let the sectaries be ousted from the synagogue. Kick them out. Amen. They labeled the Nazarenes as heretics. We are heretics. We are. I don't think in the climate of the times, with the Jewish people going into exile, with the members of the Sanhedrin blaming the Nazarenes for not supporting the Bar Kokhba revolt. Remember, they quit fighting when Rabbi Akiva said the general in charge of the revolt was the Messiah. What do you think the Messianics did? They quit fighting for him. And that's why they ended up losing to Rome. So we can discount the idea that they might possibly have decided to change the way things were figured to point away from Yeshua. So maybe this was a reaction to getting it away from Yeshua. Huh? Am I saying that's what happened? No. But it's a possibility, certainly, could happen. And so finally, I want to address one final objection to the so-called Sadducean count, which I believe is the scriptural count. And this objection is brought only by fellow believers in Yeshua. The objection is that we cannot accept the Sadducean halakha, the Sadducees' interpretation, because they do not believe in the resurrection of the dead. A lot of Messianics say that. For anyone, they don't believe in Yeshua, obviously. Well, just because they're wrong on that, which is a totally unrelated issue, doesn't mean that they are wrong on this one. They could be wrong and right on other things. The traditional rabbis, the Pharisaic rabbis, what do? They uphold the traditional count. They don't believe that Yeshua is the Messiah either. Neither does the Sadducees. None of them believe in him. What is the worst sin? Rejection of the Messiah or rejection of the general concept of resurrection? Yeshua himself, who did he yell at? It was the Pharisees when they were wrong. He never yelled at any Sadducees. That shows that we shouldn't automatically uphold their interpretations as right. Some suggest that since Yeshua never lashed out at the Pharisees for their false count, This assumes, one, that the Pharisaic count, in fact, predates the final Sanhedrin. Other than testimony that postdates Yeshua, we have no proof that the traditional Pharisaic practice was the normal practice at the time of Yeshua. And it assumes, two, that because we have no record in our Gospels of such an objection, that it never happened. Well, let's read John chapter 21, verses 24 and 25. This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Yeshua did, which, if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that it would be written in. So, how many of you have ever took logic in school? Okay, well, in logic, you're taught that an argument from silence is a logical fallacy. Right? Some suggest that we in the Messianic community cannot say that the Pharisees are wrong since we do not understand the position, because if we understood the position, we'd see that they were right. That's tautology. We cannot show they are wrong because we just don't understand that they're right. Got that? I believe we don't have to understand their position at all. All we have to understand is what the Scripture says. And the Scripture says in Leviticus 23:15, count seven complete Sabbaths, Shavah Tamim Shabbatot, not Shavah Tamim Shavuot. Shavah Tamim Shabbatot. Shavuot comes after the on the day after the seventh Sabbath, according to Leviticus 23:16, which would make it tomorrow. I find no other way to uphold the traditional count given the very specific statement, the day after the seventh Sabbath. I hope this helps you understand what we're doing here. And because we can't have this building tomorrow, we have to celebrate it today, which makes it even worse. It complicates it more. So, you know, we're not even Pharisaic or Sadducee in this respect. But we are trying to honor God the best way we can. And sometimes that's difficult. But you know what? It doesn't matter what day you celebrate Shavuot. It doesn't matter what day. Yeah, it's nice to celebrate it when you can. I mean, we celebrate Passover when we can. We even moved the Seder to Saturday night because we want to reach out to our community. Yeah. But we don't call it a Seder. We call it an outreach Seder. It's not the traditional Seder that we would do on the first night. And then why did the Jews do two Seders anyway? They do one on the first night and they do one on the second night. Because they don't know which night they're supposed to do it. So you have to rely on those people to tell you when Shavuot is. They can't even get Passover right. And God said it was on the night of the 14th. And that is confusing too. Since Yeshua celebrated Passover and died as the Passover lamb the next night when everybody was celebrating Passover. That's another story for another time. Thank you very much.